You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
And a bad movie it was.
I saw God.
Oh, jeez. Why?
Welcome to Movie Sucktastic, everybody.
I mean, I remembered this movie being bad. I don't remember it being this bad. And you know why?
It's interesting you say that.
You made us watch the director's cut, you fuck.
Well,
that's what you did.
And the
you,
fuck is
you
Scott.
Know what you did.
That's the fuck is Scott. That's Joey. And this episode, we're reviewing The Lawnmower Man from 1992. Yes. Now, this not the worst Stephen King film.
No.
But the worst adaptation.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Stephen King sued to get his name removed and won.
Yes, the film that pissed off Stephen King.
Because, I mean, it used to be called Stephen King's The Lawnmower Man. From what I've read, there's only one scene in the movie that correlates to the short story at all, and it's when he murders someone with a lawnmower.
Well, have you ever read the Stephen King short story?
Never have.
Okay, I read it back when I was a kid, because that was my childhood. So I haven't read it since then, but I can tell you it's very short, and I will give you a one-sentence synopsis. No, two sentences, I think.
Okay.
Basically, a lawnmower service guy comes up to this guy's house, strips naked, eats his grass, and then disembowels him in the bird feeder.
That's it, huh?
That's it. That's it. It's not one of his best, and
wow.
I don't know what he thought they were going to do with it when they told him, "Yeah, we're going to do Lawnmower Man." I don't know what he thought they were going to do, but there's nothing they really could have done beyond this. Yeah, so I mean, you probably know the story. So they had this other screenplay called Cyber God.
Yeah,
Cyber God. And there's like, well,
title,
let's just slap.
To be honest.
Yeah. Oh no!
For Lawnmower what Man this, is definitely no, 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 the better no, no. title. For what this movie is,
no, Cyber God's a horrible title.
He mows lawns and fixes them.
I know, but it's too blatant. I don't like it as a title. I don't. I prefer Lawnmower Man.
Listen, I don't think I would have seen either of the movies, but.
Well, I know I didn't see it in the theater. I saw this on VHS after it came out.
You know where I saw a bunch of this movie?
Hmm.
On The Mind's Eye.
That's right.
And I had mentioned that I think I mentioned it when we spun the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The Mind's Eye and Beyond the Mind's Eye.
Yeah, they were pretty much like a collection of computer graphics.
Yes.
Trying to like kind of showcase the newest things they could do with computers.
Correct. Yeah.
And The Mind's Eye and Lawnmower Man. Here's one of the major faults of Lawnmower Man is that the graphics were dated when they were created.
Yeah.
Like even back then they didn't look good. It's like it's worse than The Last Starfighter.
Oh yeah. Last Starfighter. I remember watching the featurette. They made a lot of those graphics for that film on Craze machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which were considered the benchmark. It was like, if you're making movies and doing computer-generated graphics of any kind, you're doing it on a Craze. And
I think we can all be agreed that like vast majority of computer graphics in films in the 90s was just horrible.
Oh, it was terrible. It was the 80s and 90s, because they were doing a little bit, very, very little in the 80s.
Your first generation of computer graphics, and so it's just, it was all new, and, you know, it sucks. It sucks. It's the worst part of the fucking film.
It really is.
It is. It is.
Every time now, they flip over said, to it, it's bad.
You said you hate this film more now that you've seen it again.
Yeah, I remembered back then watching it and, you know, thinking, you know, virtual reality, that's kind of cool. Because they didn't have virtual reality. At least I don't believe. I'm pretty sure
they still didn't.
Well, no, we have VR now.
Yeah, whatever that is. It's not what. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's not what this movie predicts or is showcasing at all. But we have VR. What they did have back in the 90s, and I think it was a little bit after this movie, I think it was spawned because of the ideology of this film. They had these VR stations, kind of like Ready Player One, where you would stand on like this platform and you could walk around or move around on this platform.
And the ideology of the film?
Well, yeah, that virtual reality is the future, and you could do all these amazing things, and
yeah, you can't.
Well, I'm saying they the closest they ever got was these like $1 million VR setups that you would go and like it would be like at a museum or it would be at sometimes they'd have it like at. Like say at the Meadowlands,
3D video game, like a 3D,
yeah, like at the Meadowlands where they were showcasing it, you know, like conferences. That's the closest they ever got to what this movie tried, and it was not good.
It was nowhere near close to mind expanding.
No,
where you know
it wasn't beyond anyone's eye.
So here's why I asked that, because I remember specifically hating this film when it came out, roundly and justifiably. However, having watched the director's cut.
Oh, no.
And being older, I have an appreciation for part of the film. It's still a bad movie, but it's fixable. I can fix this film.
Really? Okay. Are you cutting out all the CGI?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get rid of all the CGI. Get rid of all that nonsense.
I mean, that's what everyone came for. I don't know if you can cut all of it out.
And everybody that came for that was disappointed. That's why the film bombed. Everybody that was excited about the special effects, all they got were the crappy few scenes that they showed, and they weren't that great. And then they had to sit through all this other nonsense to get to it.
Yeah, and what's crazy is a lot of the scenes were from that Mind's Eye video, and they reused them and put them in here and tied a plot around it. Dialogue. Yeah,
now the plot... The plot itself is basically Flowers for Algernon, but with a body count.
I had never read that.
You never did? Oh, but they made us read it in high school.
No, that wasn't one of the books that I had to read.
There was, I moved a lot. So I didn't necessarily go to, you know, our school district when I read that. But there was a film made of it called Charlie. And it's basically about a dumb person. The book is written is like his diary. As he's submitted into these experiments to make him intelligent again, but in Flowers for Algernon, the tragedy at the end is that he loses his intelligence after he had it all, and we see that transition in the epistolatory story. So this is kind of like that, except instead of reverting at the end, he becomes
a part of the mainframe.
He becomes he goes psychotic.
Well, he is the mainframe, so.
Right. Yeah. So, Pierce Brosnan, 007 James Bond. He's Dr. Angelo. This is what,
two years, 4 years before he became Bond?
Yeah. This was after he got screwed out of the part because of Remington Steele, but before he was able to finally play.
Well, Remington Steele, I think, was 84 or something, and he was
contractually. That was when he was supposed to.
Yeah, he was contractually obliged to be a Remington Steele, and he couldn't get out of it.
Right, so somewhere between there so this is like right in the middle there, maybe a little near the end. And Jeff Fahey, now I'm telling you, like, Pierce Brosnan and Jeff Fahey do a phenomenal job in this film in the scenes that don't involve CGI.
Their back and forths are quite good. I'll give you that.
Fahey does a perfect transition from town idiot to like super genius. The transition in his body language and how he presents himself and interacts with people. In the director's cut, you get more of that change and you see the transition, and it's really impressive to see Fahey handle that. I think he does a great job. One of the problems with the director's cut, they trim like 30, 35 minutes out of the film, and they trim some good stuff, some stuff that they should have trimmed, but they trim the middle out. All these sequences where we see Job, I went through all the discs, I found everything, history is amazing, you know, like these really good
disturbing
set scenes. Yeah, disturbing, yeah. And then they cut all that stuff out. So the second act of the first act of this of the non-director's cut, the theatrical release, is like 15 minutes. The first act is like nothing, and then the second act is like a prolonged montage. So I see why I hated the film when I saw it back then. The director's cut has much more of a flow. It has much more of an introduction to the Job character and Angelo's business through the whole cyber. Oh, what was the character's name? What was the character's name again? Cyboman.
Cyberman. Was it
Cybo?
Cyboman? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Cyboman. It was like a weird pronunciation. But the whole thing with the monkey, the Project X monkey at the beginning, having that extra scene where he comes across Job and they give more of a... It shows more of the humanity of Angelo, and it gives more of the character of Job. They lost some precious scenes when they cut this down from 2 hours and 20 minutes. I'm not saying it should be 2 hours and 20 minutes. It should have been 2 hours. Solid.
Yeah, and as you and I both know, and maybe other people don't, there's only a couple of reasons why they'll cut a movie down. One, it didn't test well, and they try and cut it, make it a little tighter. But two, it's usually so that they can play it in theaters more times per day to make as much money as possible.
You know, I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah, the sweet spot is 2 hours or less. That is the sweet spot. You know, 90 minutes is like perfect. We want to show a movie as many times as absolutely possible, make the most money possible. 90 minutes, 90 to 100 minutes is like the perfect sweet spot. But if you can get it under 2 hours or just at 2 hours, that's good too.
Yeah, I mean, like when you're sitting in Jurassic Park and you wait that long for the dinosaurs to show up, when they show up, they blow you away. There's nothing in this that you wait for from a CGI perspective that blows you away. In fact, a lot of the graphics, especially the ones they cut out from the house invasion sequence with the office, they take out Angelo's wife, like those sequences are just so...
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Those aren't part of the mind's eye. That's just shit that they did themselves to try and...
From what I read, the stuff in the mind's eye came from this, not the other way around.
I thought it was the
other way around. From what I read.
Yeah,
the sure? Stuff, because they had a budget on this. They have a $500,000 budget to do the special effects on this, I read. And that was used in conjunction with other stuff from other artists in the mind's eye. That's what I read.
Okay, I'll go with that.
I want to give them some credit. I want to give them some credit here. They at least,
thought it was the other way around. All right, whatever. It's fine.
Don't get me wrong.
It doesn't matter, to be completely honest.
if I was clever, I would edit this film in with the launch of Meta.
32 years later.
Yeah.
33 years later.
That's why I said we still don't have VR, because that's the best it is, and that's nothing. That's garbage.
Yeah.
So I have the same respect for VR that I have for 3D, which is none at all.
Well, you know what? VR porn is supposed to be interesting. I don't know.
I
don't have a VR, so I don't know.
I nope.
Anyway, you know what's funny? There's a couple of things that stood out that were just kind of funny to me. So one of the things that when I'm watching it, and I watched it alone, like I always do.
I did too.
So Petey, he's friends with Petey, the little kid right? And mm-hmm. they show that because, you know, he's on the same, he's actually probably lower intelligence, you know, age-wise than Petey, but almost yeah. on the same kind of level because he's probably got, you know, of a not a toddler, but like maybe adolescent.
We get
kind
the idea.
Of, yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
kind
roughly of the IQ. Same age.
But so Petey's father comes home, and the thing I noticed immediately is Petey's father is just so angry, and they want to really show you that he's a bad person, angry, and that he probably has a job that he hates because he comes home still wearing the hard hat. Who yes, does that?
Kept it on in the car. Kept it on the whole car ride.
Who does? Nobody does that. But they had to. They had to convey that, yeah, you know, he works in construction, hates his life, hates his job, hates his kids and his wife even more. So mm-hmm. this scene has to show him wearing this, wearing the hard hat, because it's like, otherwise, how are you going to know? It's well, just like just he, so ridiculous.
He goes along with the I forget his name, the ruffian at the gas station. They're like the Jake? Like just like the Megan
Jake
yeah, just like in the Megan movie. These are the blatantly obvious characters being set up for a kill later based same on thing, how they interact with the main
priest.
Character.
Same thing with the priest.
Yeah, same thing with the priest. Yeah, very blatant. And you know, that's one thing that's like I'll give them credit. Like, as far as like slapping Stephen King's name on the films, is we've got anti-religion in here. I think we've got that covered.
Yeah, they set up all of those just to knock them over. Even Pierce Brosnan's wife, what was her name? Carolyn?
Carolyn. The actress is Colleen.
I mean, when he goes over, when he's having one of his episodes, and he goes over and she's sitting outside, and he asks if Dr. Angelo is home. And she says yes, and then in her head, she says something nasty about him, you know?
It's like he's jerking off on his computer.
Well, no, about Job, the lawnmower man.
Oh, about Job.
She says something bad, you know, nasty. So it's like even that was a setup because he uses her to take out the agents that come to the house to try and take him.
Now, to be fair... having seen the director's cut where when we have more of her and the scene where she gets gunned down in cyberspace at the end, I feel like the theatrical cut does a decent job of getting rid of her early. Instead of going out with the girl, she's like, yeah, I'm leaving.
Right. She just doesn't come back.
Yeah, she doesn't come back, and they cut that whole sequence out. But I feel like they could really, this film can't be fixed on the director's chair. It has to be fixed in the screenplay. And one thing they should have done is got rid of the wife character. Like, this guy has time for a wife with his obsessions,
right?
And instead spent more time working on the relationship with the abused wife and child next door,
right? Which by the end it's like, are they banging now?
And that's what I'm saying. They could have put a bit more involved in that, so it didn't feel so pasted together.
Because
had a more of a relationship with the kid than, yeah, he comes over and plays my video games.
Well, you know, and I don't know if they said it in the theatrical or if it was revealed in the director's cut, but in the director's cut, he said that Petey reminded him of his son, which clearly he doesn't have one in any of the scenes. So they allude to his son not, you know, being around anymore or have passed away.
Yeah, nothing. So, got nothing.
Right. So I don't know if they... if he even mentions it in the theatrical, I'm assuming they do. It's very brief. But by the end of the film, just that one line, it's like, okay, I get it. Petey's going to be a stepfather to this kid. He's going to start banging his mom.
you know? But then we lose all that to make room for the shop.
No, I know.
Closing
absolutely.
In. And that's the second thing I would remove from this film entirely is the shop as a heavy in this film. It is not needed. You don't need them for a ticking time bomb when you have a Frankenstein experiment going wrong.
Right.
You don't need them to sabotage the experiment. The experiment's never going to go well. That's the whole point of these Frankenstein monster things. You know, having them sabotage, oh, they gave him the aggressive gene. Oh, I wonder what'll happen now. It's like, there was no need for that. Really, they could have played more up on the idea of at one point, instead of just instead of Job just getting angry at one point, driving to the lab and injecting all the serum at once in him, I would have had something with Angela. I was like, you know what, this is too dangerous. We're stopping the experiments. He's like, and Job like, I'm smarter than you now. I'm continuing them.
Right. You know? Sure.
And then maybe have the company like start paying more attention to Job than Angelo, says he knows what he's doing. You know, he wants to keep the project going. We're behind this guy. Yeah. Well, what do you need the shop for when his own experiment like starts like wowing? You know, he starts getting more charismatic too at the same time, and he's like, well, you know, everybody here likes him. We don't know what your fucking problem is, Angelo. Go home. Something more like yeah. So you could have had a lot more with that. I mean, they spend so much time with Hank from Breaking Bad.
I was just gonna say, like, Dean Norris, you know, Hank from Breaking Bad, with the fancy pants, you know, accent. Mm-hmm. I would like to have him take the ST5 serum and see how that acts.
It's like worst scenes of the worst like, acting. Dude, in the film.
Weren't you a Martian in Total Recall just like 10 minutes ago?
Oh, him and the toady, Tim's.
Yeah.
It's like both of them is like totally unneeded. It's such lazy screenwriting to try to get another angle in there. All you needed was just the main, I mean, the story's right there. Oh, simple character abused by everybody around him, gets smart and then catches on to what they're doing and then takes revenge. It's, you know, it's not a new story to begin with. And the third main thing that fixes this, get rid of the VR and just make it cyberspace.
Sure.
Pure information. Yeah. And then you don't have to worry about the VR graphics letting you down, which they did.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to make the next Tron is what they're doing with this. And when you don't have the money behind it, it's just not going
to
work.
Well, you know, and on top of that, leading up to this, like literally break it down, leading up to this, you've got the Abyss, right? Industrial Light and Magic is doing mm-hmm. those types of special effects, or
yeah.
like the liquid, you know, motion special effects. Then
and
you
that go was in, groundbreaking.
Then you go into Total Recall, like right up, you know, right later, just, you know, just a few months later. And then Total Recall goes into Terminator 2, which redefined the industry as far as special mm-hmm. effects and what you could do. All Industrial Light and Magic, by the way. But anyway, so now you have a movie like Lawnmower Man that's like, shit. You know, they've mm-hmm. they've set a bar. It's set very high. We've got to do something. And that's why they did all that CGI shit in this film. It's really the only reason they did it.
Yeah, yeah. It just doesn't hold up. It doesn't, him like the whole withered body thing, once he gets sucked in the side, none of this jibes. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, yeah. We're not going to go that route. And getting them to wear the neon skin tight suits, I guess. I don't know
sure, if that glow, was needed or not. It's like, yeah, it's
yeah.
clearly a, you know, a Tron-esque thing that they were trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like the first half, the first part, the first two acts of the film, the director's cut, again, if you ignore the wife and ignore the office, I think there's decent storytelling there. You know, it's not original in the least, but there's a story that's being told, and you have some good actors working on it. I was conflicted. You know, again, I was ready just to make fun of this film the entire way. I was like, oh man, you know, Fahey's really nailing it here.
And
his workout routine.
Well, yeah, Fahey was jacked. I mean, he was also doing movies like Body Parts at this time, and he was starting to get known, especially in this genre a little bit. You know, he was pretty big in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. He made a name for himself. Then he kind of disappeared until I noticed him again, which was in Grindhouse and Planet Terror.
He was the
barbecue sauce. Mm-hmm. That's good barbecue.
Speaking of character actors in the film, or actors in the film, recognizable, Jeffrey Lewis.
Lewis, yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's recognizable the minute you see him.
Yeah. Yep, Jeffrey Lewis,
and
Dean Norris from Breaking Bad, Hank. the girl that the one that he comatoses.
Marnie.
Yeah, Marty. It was Marty.
Marnie.
It sounded sounded like you said keep saying Marty.
I agree. In the credits, though, it's Marnie. I swear to God, it
sounds like Marty. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's not like famous or anything, but she's been in a bunch of things. Like one of the things, the one thing that I recognize her the most from was Pink Floyd's The Wall. She was in the transition. I need a dirty girl, like that song, you know, that from Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
Or not Dark Side of the Moon, from The Wall. She's in that scene with all like the other prostitutes and she's topless. And then she's also topless in this. Recognized her from that. The little kid, Petey, he's the kid from Last Action Hero that comes out a year later. 93. And that's about it as far as like recognizable faces and whatnot. I don't, other than that, no, nobody else. Anyway, so I don't know, I feel like I'm vamping a bit, but
I strongly feel that it's like when Marnie, he starts banging the girl, and then when he gets frustrated and he's like, you know, let's go back to, he's like bored, I guess, with sex. So he takes her back to the lab and hooks her up to the VR stuff, and they go into virtual reality and they're doing stupid stuff that looks stupid. Now, so, and then she's traumatized. And the problem is, if you're going to have someone traumatized by something, and you're going to show what traumatized them, that thing that traumatized them can't look silly.
Yeah, that was stupid.
That was the silliest looking thing. There was nothing traumatizing about that. Looked
like a Venus flytrap with lips.
It looked like it's like a Super Mario villain. It's not even a good one.
No, it was terrible.
And the proboscis would shoot out and hit her. It's like, oh, and that drove her insane. Okay. Now, at least with Jake, that's dangerous, Jake. At least with Jake, having a lawnmower go through your brain virtually, I can see how that'll mess you up. That made more sense to me than just...
I don't even know how she got comatose like that. I mean, she didn't take any treatments or, you know, any of that stuff. She just put on goggles.
Again, it's just trying to... The only thing about VR is it's visual, and trying to imply that just having a visual world around you, like, can help like increase it doesn't make any sense. No. Having them hooked, like saying like, oh, I'm gonna hook them with the internet and pump them full of data. Yeah, that makes just as much sense as anything Elon Musk is doing today, but at least it sounds good for the story.
Right. I mean, about the only thing would be believable, or was kind of believable, is when he had a seizure. It's like, yeah, that's a real thing. That's why there's a warning that pops up before every single video game that you've ever played from the 80s on. You know, this flashing lights, epileptic seizures could be a possibility. Even if you have never had a seizure before, you could be epileptic and just not know it. And if this could bring it out, you know, it's like that was like the only believable thing as far as like what VR could do. It's like, yes, it could give you a seizure potentially.
Yeah. And like they show you them playing cool games and you're like, yeah, that game looks stupid. It's tough to do. We're going to do something groundbreaking. Yeah, but you don't have the budget. You're not Disney. You know, Disney can try to do Tron and make that groundbreaking and have it bomb.
Right.
I mean, that didn't answer the question either. Just don't do it. Just stop doing it. Stop it. Stop doing the internet stuff.
I agree. Totally. So.
But, I mean, yeah, the film doesn't age well because it felt obsolete when it came out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the main subject.
So as far as the film goes, as far as it's successful or not, it wasn't.
Yeah. No.
But it's
killing me.
Well, it only had a $10 million budget, but it made $32 million, which put it in the green by a decent margin. And it actually spawned a sequel.
Direct-to-video.
Right, which was also scenes from that was in Beyond the Mind's Eye, I believe.
Yeah. And I've never even bothered to watch the sequel.
I've never seen it. Here's the thing. I've seen Beyond the Mind's Eye, so I've seen some of the sequel.
You just don't know what parts yet.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, all right, let's see. What's this thing currently rated on IMDb?
5.4, sir.
5.4.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a 5.
You know what? I think it's a solid 5 because, like I said...
It's average.
It's average. I think if they had made the fixes that I described, it would have been a better film.
Could be looking at a 6 with that, sure.
Yeah, maybe a 6, maybe, with that budget. But, yeah, it's front-loaded with garbage.
To say this is a 4... It's not. It's better than a 4, especially the director's cut.
Fahey does too well in it. Especially the director's cut. Keeping the director's cut in mind, I think a solid 5.
5 is, yeah, I'm good with a 5.
I agree.
All right. This
film does not deserve that much respect.
No. Oh, man.
So, what's next?
We're going to spin the wheel.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Yeah, we are. I already got it queued up, baby. You kidding me? Here, let me get it in the frame here. Here's the Wheel of Suck. Ooh, there it is. Wheel of Suck. All right. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Let me shuffle these again. I like to shuffle it every week. All right. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm, yeah.
Okay, let's go. I gotta fix that. Sometimes the music just sucks ass. Anyway, let's see what we got here. See, Halloween is over. We got flesh-eating mothers. Why are we getting so many like sci-fi horror movies? We're out of October. When we wanted them in October, we weren't getting them. Now we're out of October. That's all we get.
That's one of the ones I wanted to review in October.
What is
it's up to you.
Hold on. Before I veto this, which is, I might. I mean, clearly from the title, I kind of get what it is. But is this like some sort of like flesh-eating disease or zombified moms in some way? Like what are we looking at here?
It's hard for me to tell you because I've never seen the film. I just know it came out roughly the same time as the other film we reviewed recently.
Oh, like Rabid Grannies?
Yes, exactly. It was that same time period, in the same magazines I used to read back then. So this is here's the synopsis.
All right, let's have it.
Suburban housewives turn into vicious cannibals after committing adultery with the neighborhood womanizer. If you're not feeling it, veto it.
I'm not feeling it. I am going to veto it.
No hard feelings.
All right.
I won't take it personally.
All right. Let's close that bad boy. All right, let's do this again. Oh, by the way, real quick, I get a veto and so does Scott. So if Scott doesn't like what we have next, we can veto it. If I don't like what we have next and Scott likes it, we're reviewing it. I'm stuck. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, spinning the wheel. Come on, no whammies. What do we got?
Uh-oh.
It is The Hottie and the Naughty. Is that a Rob Schneider movie?
Is that a Rob Schneider film?
I don't know. The Hottie and the Naughty. God. It's clearly going to be a comedy.
I did not add this to the list, so if it's on the list,
I did not add this. Of course, I did not add this. I did not add this.
This looks horrible.
I didn't add this.
A woman agrees to go on a date with a man only if he finds a suitor for her unattractive best friend.
Oh, God.
Starring Paris Hilton.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know who plays the ugly person. I don't know if it's a guy or if it's ugly up a... I don't know. This looks horrible. I'm vetoing this one. I'm not. This is, I don't know how this got on the list, but
I didn't put it there. I did not put it there. So it was clear. Yeah. Maybe it was a copy paste with some other films that you found, and then you didn't realize you put it in.
Yeah, because like you, I thought at first I thought it was that what's his face's film?
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider with the hot chick.
Right. That's what I was thinking. That was a,
yeah.
All right,
here don't want to watch that either, but no. Still.
All right, here we go. This is the last one.
This is gonna be it.
So the way this works is we both use the veto. We got to review this one that's coming up, no matter what it is. All right, here we go. Come on, no whammies, no whammies. We're big money.
And well,
what are we looking at here? Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I've never seen it, so.
Me neither.
All right. Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
The famous Roger Ebert film. Yes, I think it's about time we did review that.
Yeah. Wasn't that the one that he, because he wrote and directed that, right?
He wrote it, I believe.
He didn't direct it? Okay.
I think he just wrote it.
He just wrote it. And the thing of it was, you know, he's a critic. He criticizes everyone's movies. Your movie's terrible. Your movie sucks. I don't like it. And then he writes this thing, and it's fucking horrible. And yet he still was able to keep his job and, you know, critique other people's shit.
I never read much into it, but I'm assuming he was just humble about it. He's like, yeah, you know, I wrote that. It didn't do well. There you go. You know,
yeah.
I don't think he ever defended it as a masterpiece.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to look into that when we watch the film. Definitely.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. Okay. Never
seen
it. Much
better than Hottie or the Naughty.
I agree.
All right.
All right. Let's go ahead and end this bad boy.
Lawnmower Man is over.
It's done. Dishes are done, man. All right. As always, thank you again for joining us for yet another episode of Movie Sucktastic, episode 457, where we just reviewed The Lawnmower Man, 1992. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. You can download the show. You can listen to the show. You can click on the YouTube link so you can watch this live stream live or, you know, when we're done and it posts, which should be in about 5 minutes. We are streaming this week, by the way.
Yep, I checked.
Thanks. you go to iTunes and you can listen to the show there as well. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything we're posting. You can go to letterboxd.com/moviesucktastic and you can see all the cool stuff that Scott's doing there. You want to leave us email, it's themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. You want to leave us voicemail, it's 908-514-4470. Want to download our podcast app? You can go to moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk or just make your life easy and just go download your favorite podcast player and do a search for Movie Sucktastic. Every single episode is there, 100% free. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
I saw God.
Yeah, the face he made when he did that, I'm like, damn, Faye. What's going on?
Yeah, give him props.
Spray me down. Spray me down with some KY. I saw God. All right, cut. Print it. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review.
Yeah, we will.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's going to be good.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Later.